where he usually lived the whole of his life, and that is praying in the midst of some emergency. David's life largely was a life of great trial and trouble. And in these first two verses of Psalm 28 that we're going to consider for these next few moments, we see in David the expression of both fear and comfort. Fear and comfort. First of all, David's fear, indeed his chief fear in this psalm, is that God will not hear his prayers. You see that in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Be not deaf to me. And if God is unresponsive to David, then David, he fears that he'll become like those who go down to the pit. Now that's very interesting phraseology there. What exactly is the pit? Well, the pit in the Old Testament usually, largely, is synonymous with Sheol, the realm of the dead, or with death itself. But David's fear in this particular instance is not just heading toward the grave. There is something much more insidious here. What David is fearing is dying without hope. Dying without hope. If his prayer goes unanswered, then he will appear no different than the ungodly, the unrighteous, who do indeed die with no reprieve from the Lord. And this is the fear that David is impressing here. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me. Do not be unresponsive to me, lest if you be silent to me, if you turn away from me, if you do not answer me, I would become like those who go down to the pit. In other words, I'd be no different than the ungodly. I would go to the grave with no reprieve. But in the midst of this fear, there is a comfort that David expresses as well. And it's a twofold comfort. He calls upon the Lord as his rock. You see that? In verse 1, to you, O Lord, I call, my rock, my rock. This metaphor has both passive and active overtones. It conveys on the one hand security and stability, and on the other hand, it conveys sustenance and sufficiency. David is not drowning here in despair. He remembers who the Lord is. Indeed, the very reason he's calling out to God is because he remembers who the Lord is, because he knows the Lord. There is a walk that he has here with God, a real walk with the Lord. And so David recalls in this petition to the Lord just who the Lord is and who the Lord is to David. My rock. A further comfort is his confidence that his prayers will penetrate God's most holy sanctuary. You see that in verse 2. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. That most holy sanctuary is representing God's very presence. And so David is encouraging himself that his prayers are not just lifting to the height of the ceiling, as it were, but his prayers will reach the Lord himself, that they will penetrate God's most holy sanctuary. They will be in the very presence of the Lord. Well, what should be our takeaway from these first two verses of Psalm 28? The takeaway should be this, beloved. None of us deserve to be heard by God when we pray. None of us deserve to be heard by God when we pray. The fact that He does hear us, the fact that He does answer our prayers, listen, that is an act of mercy, not entitlement. That is a pure act of mercy. Furthermore, and this is most important, it is only by the mediation of Jesus Christ that we will be heard. Only by His mediation. Only because of His merits in our behalf will our prayers truly be answered. And answered, of course, according to God's will. There is great humility in these first two verses of Psalm 28 that David is expressing before the Lord. He is not showing in any respect that God should answer him, that he deserves to be answered. I mean, Lord, don't you know who I am? I'm your covenant king. I'm the man after your own heart. I'm the one that you chose to be in this position. No. No, actually, as we'll see next week, but we'll at least look at it as a preview. Look at verse 3. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Do not drag me off with the wicked. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever asked the Lord not to do that? You see, David understands something that we tend, I'm afraid, to forget. David was always very well aware of who God is and who David was and what David really deserved. And therefore, as he says rightly in verse 2, hear the voice of my pleas for what? Mercy. Mercy. Grant me what I do not deserve. And beloved, this is indeed how we should approach the Lord in prayer. Not be like those who teach that we can just march into the throne room of God and demand and expect an answer. Expect to receive what you're petitioning God for. Just expect it. Because God owes you. God is obligated. Now, the only thing God owes us, the only thing that He's truly obligated to give us, is eternal punishment in hellfire. It is only because of the mediation and the merits of His eternal Son in our behalf that we'll be hearing a lot more of in a few moments from Isaiah 53, that we have a place before His throne that is one of mercy and not judgment. And beloved, we must never lose sight of that when we go before the Lord, when we petition Him. There must always be humility. And one way to understand humility is this. It's remembering your place. remembering your place. Now, people in today's culture, in our American culture, they don't want to hear that. What do you mean, remember my place? But no, we need to remember our place before the Lord, who the Lord is and who we are. So there is a fear and there is a comfort that David expresses in the opening words of this psalm, a psalm that as we dig more into it over the next few weeks, we'll see is David in one of his many barrages of trial and trouble. But David is defaulting, as he always did, to call upon the Lord, to call upon God, his rock. And so should we. Let's pray. Our holy and righteous eternal Father, we do indeed humble ourselves, Lord, under your mighty hand this time, this hour, and this day. And Father, we thank you for what your servant David has caused us to remember, the humility that should always clothe us when we enter into your presence via prayer. That though you have saved us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, your Son, yet it is only because of his mediation, it is only due to his merits that you accept us, Heavenly Father, that you have mercy upon us, that you do not judge us as we justly deserve. For indeed, Lord, we know that if left to ourselves, what we really deserve is the very thing that your servant David pleaded that you would not do, to drag him off with the wicked, with the workers of evil. And Father, we pray, let us not forget such things as this, as hard as they are to think about. Lord, we tend, because of our own remaining corruption and the pride that is there, to think of ourselves as somehow superior and better, as somehow being just good people. And how quickly we forget that by nature we are sinful, and therefore by nature children of wrath, only because of your grace and mercy for us in Christ is the difference made between us and the rest of the world, between us and the wicked and the workers of evil. For we realize, Lord, that we deserve their same lot. We deserve their punishment. But in your mercy, you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. In your mercy, you joined us to your Son, Jesus Christ, by the regenerating work of the Spirit. And Father, we pray, let us not lose sight in any degree to such magnanimous grace that has made us one of your own, that has adopted us into your eternal family. And so, Lord, we pray that even in our greatest trials and troubles, let us not enter into your presence demanding, but instead humbly crying out to you as David, making pleas for mercy, and trusting in you, Lord, and casting our cares upon you as the only one who is indeed our rock. the one and the only one who is our sufficiency, our sustenance, our stability, our security in all things. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times that we have in our anxiety turned to the things of this world. For those things that only you can meet and fulfill, Lord. We thank you, Father, for renewing our understanding again and afresh by these opening words in this portion of your holy word, and reminding us that you alone are the one on whom our lives rely upon for all things. We therefore cast all our cares on you, even as David was doing so long ago, because you are the Lord who changes not, and you are truly our rock. These things we pray for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his name, by his mediation, and on account of his saving merits. Amen. And amen.